to Morisset Baptist Church Online. It's exciting that we have our first online video for this Sunday. Also a little disappointing it has to come about in such a scenario. But it is a great chance for us to be making sure we are caring for one another, we are sharing our stories with one another, and we are seeing how God is working even amongst all this unrest. If you would normally be here on a Sunday, I would say to use the facilities through the double doors and stay for morning tea, but that's all happening at your house today. So you can use your own facilities and make your own morning tea this morning. We do want to say that if you are not normally connected with our church, that you can still be in contact with us, either phone calls or emails and things like that. We still want to get in contact with you. We want to see how we can help you through this time. We want to see how we can help you hear and learn of God and the great things that He's doing in our world and how it becomes a part of our lives. This is a really important time to be making sure you're checking in on your neighbours, making sure you're in contact with people in your small groups, in your ministry groups, and obviously be in contact with us too, letting us know how everything's going. We want to hear as many stories as we can, and we want to share those stories with everyone in our church. A lot of our ministries are still ongoing. They aren't a large number of people, and so they are ongoing and adapting to meet the new recommendations. And so please be praying for our ministry leaders as they work through with their teams. We want to let those leaders continue to be leaders. We want them to work through the recommendations. We are helping them work through those recommendations. And please, obviously, be praying for our Ellipsis team, our deacons, and all our other leadership as we work through these different scenarios. And lastly, I just want to say that our large gatherings, obviously those over 100 people or expected to have over 100 people at this stage, are all cancelled. So things like May Mission Dinner, obviously our normal Sunday gatherings, and Christmas in July are all cancelled at this stage.
Hi everyone, I just want to talk from a church organisation perspective. If you're going to be on site here for an approved small group gathering, can I just ask you to read and implement the signage that you'll find around our facility. We want to protect the health of each one of you. Now, our staff are still working, albeit in a different way. Tim and Mitch are both preparing and delivering messages. They're having their usual contact and responsibilities. They're both contactable via email and phone, and they want you to feel that you can bring your concerns to them. We want you to let us know if you need any support, any resources. Our pastoral care network is here and they're ready to serve you. At church, we still have responsibilities and commitments and we still need to do ministry, although in a different way. And we're working on bringing you church every week and we want to include the music team in that to bring worship so that you can be involved in that really valuable time. And we've got our staff employed and we've important commitments to mission, both locally and through global interaction. And we know you'll be contacted by many causes and organisations that want you to support their work. Can we just encourage you to continue to support your usual commitments, including here to the work of the church, as we continue to do the Lord's work. So we also recognise for those in employment, you'll have your concerns for your livelihood. And giving of our tithes and offerings is a significant act of worship. We don't want to lose sight of that despite the circumstances we're facing. And many people will attest to God's faithfulness when they've continued to give to the Lord's work even when times are tough. So right now, I'd just like to pause and commit our offering to the Lord. Won't you join me in prayer? Father, we just come to you today in a different way to usual. And we want to thank you for your unfailing love, your grace, your mercy to us as undeserving as we are. Lord, won't you help us to remember how you provide abundantly for us? And we want to take this time now to thank you for your many blessings. And in response, we give you a portion of what you provide for us as our sincere act of worship. And we ask for your guidance and your wisdom for how these tithes are used to support the outgoing work of your gospel here and afar. And we ask this through your precious Son.
Well, good morning, everyone. This is a wonderful opportunity that is yours today. I trust you realise what the rich opportunity is that you have. For a long time, people have wished that they could press the stop or the pause or the fast forward on me, and you can actually do that right now. Now, one of the things I will be doing, just to make sure that you actually listen to the whole sermon, is I'm going to deliberately put a mistake in my sermon. And what you need to do is you need to decipher through the many mistakes that will be in it, which is the deliberate mistake, and then there'll be a prize each week for the person who can work that out. Very seriously though, it is wonderful that we have technology and we have an opportunity to still proclaim God's word in this season. As we get underway today, I would like to pray. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, as we come here today, we recognize that this is a different season for the world. It's something that none of us have experienced. And yet, Father, we know that you go before us. We know that you are a God who not only understands, but you are a God who is with us in the midst of all that we are experiencing. So, Father, would you be our comfort? Would you be our guide in all that we discuss today? And as we prepare for the days ahead, the weeks ahead, and our future, as our lifestyles really change. Be in all we discuss today, I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, I need to say, for my four-year-old grandson, one of the most exciting moments for him as he goes to prep, a little four-year-old going to prep, one of the most exciting moments is when the teacher asks him whether or not he would like to be the student that goes out and sees what the weather is on any given day. And so very proudly in front of the whole class, he stands up and he walks outside and he looks around and then he comes in very, very boldly and he says, you know what, it is sunny today. Or it is sunny and windy, or it is cloudy, or it's raining. And all of the other four-year-olds sitting on the floor, they all look in amazement and think, what a wise young man. He's coming with his information to declare it is a sunny day. One of the things that I realize is it is really good for us to sometimes just go outside and just get a glimpse of what the weather is on any given day. On Thursday, as I drove to the church, it was a spectacular day. There was beautiful, clear skies. There was a freshness in the air. The sun was shining, you could see the greenery everywhere. And at the same time, you could even hear the birds in the trees. Nature did not have a single care in the world. That was the day that the Lord had made on Thursday. And even today, we're recording this on Friday, and even today, as I made my way down here today, once again, an absolutely glorious day. Nature's got everything all under control. Truly amazing. But then, you arrive in the office, the phone begins to go, and there's this realization that there's a work that has to be done, because we live at a time when the world is out of control, because there is an out of control pandemic. And no one is quite sure what to do. The global financial markets are crashing everywhere. Businesses are closing. For some, there is panic buying. For others, there is this simple desperation of, I need some basic items and I can't get them. And so there are all these struggles. So now we recognize that even the decisions that we might have made yesterday need to be altered today. And we know in advance that any decisions that we've made as a church today will probably look different next week. And that's the struggle we have. And we need to make all these changes because we are receiving daily medical advice, government advice. And so we need to go with the times. But even as we're recording this today, I look outside. The sun's still shining, and this is still the day that the Lord has made. So why this video? most of you will realise, because that every single bit of advice that we've been receiving says that social distancing is absolutely critical for us to stay in advance of this pandemic that is sweeping our nation. I just want to say that your health, your well-being is something that really matters to us. And so that's why we need to proclaim God's message in this way. And a lot of the current legislation requires that we could have up to 100 people in this space as long as everyone was a metre and a half apart. We've also received news that in a very short space of time, that rule is going to change. And the number's likely to move down to 20 or 10 people in any given space. And you'll also read on the emails that went out as well from us that the Baptist Association has advised that out of love for our communities, there is good reason to suspend gatherings and activities now. And that's really the reason we have done this today. It's actually because we genuinely care. So I don't know how you feel about that. I want to say, I don't know how I feel about that. I'm absolutely certain that my feelings and my emotions change almost by the minute. There are times when you wake up in the middle of the night and you just go, what on earth is going on today? See, I really struggle with it because I love doing church. I love meeting with all of you guys on a Sunday. I love our morning teas together after church on a Sunday and just chatting with each other. Because that's been taken away from me, and because it's been taken away from you, then I'm left in grief. And you probably are as well. This is not some flash in the pan. It's going to be a change to our lifestyles. In me, I keep thinking, this will only last for a week or two. But the news says this is going to be our new way for a long time. And we need to understand that. So right now, today, and I don't know how you're feeling. That's part of the problems of feeling a little isolated. There may be some who are angry. You may be angry with me. You may be angry with the leadership for making this decision for us today. I can understand that. Others will be frustrated. Frustrated at the government because of some of the decisions that they're making. There'll be others of us who are fearful. We'll be fearful of what COVID-19 will actually mean for us in our own personal health. Some of us will be fearful of what it may mean for our loved ones. So there will be all of those feelings. There will probably be anxiety, particularly as you go into the shops and as you look at those empty shelves. It will just cause you grief. My wife went over to our local Coles, and she was physically distressed just seeing the emptiness and seeing the despair on some people there. There'll be a sense of helplessness in there as well. You can't visit people. How are we supposed to exist if we can't visit the people who we want to spend time with? And I would imagine that today I've barely scratched the surface on all the different feelings that people are having. So there's the anger. There's the frustration. There's the fear. There's the anxiety. There's the helplessness. There's the grief. And one thing you won't hear me say, you won't hear me say this, I will not declare stop being silly. And I won't say, hang on, we're supposed to be people of faith. You shouldn't respond like that. You won't hear me say that. Because the thoughts and the feelings that you're having and that I'm having are very real. And we need to recognize them, and we need to take these feelings and these thoughts, and we need to place them somewhere. I read or heard somewhere this week, and I don't remember where that was, and so to the person who declared it, I apologise for not recognising you as the person who said it. But I thought they were wise words. What we need to do is we need to take all of these feelings, these very real feelings, and we need to turn them into laments. That is, passionate expressions to God concerning our grief and our sorrow. We need to tell God candidly what we're thinking and what we're feeling. Many of our psalms that King David wrote are actually laments. And I'm going to read some of that today from Psalm 77, verses 1 to 9. This is what he writes. I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me, and when I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring arms, and my soul refused to be comforted. I remembered you, O God, and I groaned. I mused, and my spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. I thought about the former days, the years of long ago. I remembered my songs in the night. My heart mused and my spirit inquired. Will the Lord reject me forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? You will notice the absolute truth of what King David declares. You'll appreciate the absolute candor in what he is feeling and what he is laying before the Lord. My soul refused to be comforted. He couldn't be comforted in that season. He felt like it was God's fault that he couldn't sleep. So he told God that. He was so distraught he couldn't speak. Will the Lord reject forever? Can you actually say that to God? Are we allowed to talk like that to God? Are we allowed to blame God for some of the things that are happening? Well, if it's what we're feeling, in a heart of lament, we are allowed to share that with God. He says, has his unfailing love vanished forever? Now, from a literary sense, that makes no sense at all. If it's unfailing love, then it's got to stay in place. But it's what King David, he doesn't care whether it makes literary sense or not. He says, it's how I'm feeling. And so I need to express that. Here is his passionate expression to God concerning his grief and his sorrow. He says, I want to tell you, God, I am angry. And there are probably lots of things that we're angry about. I want to tell God, I am angry that China didn't recognize this problem that they had. They didn't recognize it, didn't close their borders and keep it confined to their nation. If you're like me, you should be angry at that. Part of me is angry because why didn't God step in earlier? Allow there to be vaccines. Why are we going through this? Why are we being punished? What have we done? Why should we here at Morissette Baptist Church be punished for what the rest of the world is doing? They're all legitimate laments. And the right place for them to end up is in the presence of God, where we just hand them over to God and allow God to deal with them. Can I encourage you right now to reflect on what your raw emotions are right now? What are the things that right now are impacting you and you feel frustrated by, angry, upset? What are those things? Why don't you lay those laments down before God and put them in the place where they belong, in the loving arms of our God, who knows already and just wants to comfort and hear about it. You might like to just pause this video just for a moment, just that, to take that time to speak to him about what you're thinking, you're feeling. This is probably a season where it's really healthy for laments to feature in our prayer life. Not because we lack faith, but so that we can deal with the grief, safe and secure in God's arms. As we continue in Psalm 77, we read verse 10, and there's a complete change that takes place in verse 10. We actually read, "Then I thought." And that's a really important thing for us to do. There's nothing wrong with lamenting. In fact, it's really significant that we do that. But this idea of "then I thought," and this is a change that needs to take place. And for us as believers, for us who know who Jesus Christ is, for us who know we are secure in God, then we need to think. There has to be this change. We have to remember who we are. And David declares after his lament in verse 11, "I will remember the deeds of the Lord." Yes, my choice, in the middle of everything that is going on, yes, I will remember the miracles of long ago. "I will meditate on all your works, and I will consider all your mighty deeds. Your ways, O God, are holy." What God is so great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the people. You know, it really doesn't take much for us to put this moment that we're in, this moment, it doesn't take much for us to put it in perspective. It doesn't take much for us to put the coronavirus into its context. Yes, this moment is real, but more real, more everlasting, more faithful, more reliable, more loving is our God. So real, in fact, let's remember this and never forget it, that God loved the world so much, loved you and me so much, that he sent Jesus Christ, his Son, into the world. That if we accept the gift that Jesus offers, that we would experience everlasting life. That puts this moment into a healthy perspective. Another thing you'll notice as you read through not just this psalm, but psalms that are very much like it, there is a moment when there is this rising up. There is the lament. There is then putting it in perspective as to what it relates to who God is. And then there is this moment where there is this rising up. There is this moving from despair to hope. There is this moving from frustration to optimism. There is this looking at the present struggle. And then there is this moving to focusing on God. It is almost unfathomable to think, what on earth is it going to look like for us for 6 months, 7 months, 8 months? We don't even know how long. For us not to be able to gather together as a church. I don't know what that looks like. I can't get my head around it even slightly. And not only that, when we say we really value coming together, meeting together in fellowship, what does that look like under these times? Now, there are lots of people who are using a bit of a throwaway line, and it's a throwaway line, but it is accurate. And that word is, we will get through this. And it's been said so often that it almost doesn't get heard anymore. And we as a church, we will get through this. You'll notice on the back wall, there's that declaration that you are the church. So the church isn't shut down. Not at all. We're just not meeting a pulpit yet. But the church is alive and active. Morisset Baptist Church is at work. The heart of our church needs to be just as real as it was last week. The heart of our church, the activity of our church, the life of our church needs to be just as real next week and the week after and the months ahead. needs to be as vibrant next week as what it was in the past. And here is something that I believe can truly be the case. I think we have before us an opportunity for our church to be more vibrant in the future, as in during these next 6-9 months, than it has ever been in its whole history. I genuinely believe that's the case today. We just need to work out how that happens. I stand here declaring, I don't know how that's going to happen. But I know who God is. And I know that He wants us to be His church in this season. So we have to find out how we be His church and how we do that effectively. I stand here declaring, I don't know how it's going to happen. But I ask the question, has God forgotten to be merciful? I ask the question, has He in anger withheld His compassion? And I know that the answer is no, He hasn't. And I trust that you know that that's the answer as well. No, He hasn't. He will reveal to us how we need to serve Him in this very broken world. This world has probably never been quite as broken as it is now. How do we serve Him in this broken world? Now, obviously, leadership of our church will be working through meeting together and how we stay together as a church when we can't meet in one space. Would you be praying for the leadership of our church? None of us have traveled this path before, and so we would treasure your prayers. But I want to emphasize, whatever it looks like, we will be valuing our worship of God. That's not going to change. We will be valuing the reading of Scripture. We will be valuing the importance of prayer and the proclamation of the gospel. And of course, supporting each other. So in this season also, maybe more than ever in the past, there needs to be lots and lots and lots of personal responses. How do you personally represent Christ? You in your small corner, and the corner is a little corner at the moment. How do you represent Christ in your small corner, and I in mine? I'm really looking forward to hearing how you do that. And we're going to certainly love to hear stories about how people are letting their light shine in their part of the world. If you let your light shine, and my light shines, then Morisset Baptist Church will have its lights blazing both day and night. It just won't be on the corner of Fishery Point Road and Pullbus Street. The light will be brightly shining where we're at. We have a bit of lamenting to do. I have a little bit of lamenting that I need to do. And all of us in the midst of this also recognize that there's stuff that we need to be very thankful for as well. Then David turns his attention to who God is and what He has done. Nothing we have experiencing will ever wipe away the wonder of God. Nothing in this season is going to wipe away who God is and what He's done. The question is, what God is so great as our God? Let me give you the answer. There isn't any. At the end, David concludes with who is in control. Verse 20, you lead your people like a flock. It will be God who will. I really want to say that strongly. It really will be God who will grab us by the hand, and God Himself will lead us through. And all the way we'll be saying, but God, where are we going? And we'll be saying, God, how do we get there? And we'll be saying to God, why are we doing what we're doing? And we'll be asking God, how do we meet the needs? And might even be asking, are we there yet? And as God holds his hand, I believe he will just look at us. He'll smile. And he'll just say, just walk with me. Just walk with me. And after he says, just walk with me, I think he'll get us to look around us and see the sun in the sky, the beautiful weather, hear the birds chirping, and we will know that we are in the presence of our God. Let's pray. Today, Father, feels incredibly uncomfortable. Today feels wrong. Even as this video is being produced, it's not what we would normally do. But Father, you are with us, holding our hand, you are guiding us. Would you help us to get things right? Would you help us to talk to you about the things that we're feeling and going through? Would you help us to also remember your deeds of the past? And may our confidence be in you. And may we be prepared to just walk with you in this, the day that you have made. And as we conclude our time together today, I would like to conclude with a benediction, which comes from Philippians 4, verse 8, and I trust these words will be an encouragement to all of us. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honourable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. And think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. May God bless you each. Amen.